Welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. Every weekend, Chris, we're here. We're doing life together, and we're so glad that our audience has joined us.
That's right. Happy weekend, Dr. Linda. Can I be honest about something? I really didn't want to stop what I was doing today to do the show. If I could have, I would have just put it off and done the show later so I could finish what I was in the middle of.
So it sounds a little bit like my kids when I hear that. So here's a typical conversation in the mental house.
Okay.
Take out the trash, please. I will in a minute. How about now? I'll get it to it later. Don't worry. But here's the thing, Chris, we do worry.
Right.
And we don't want our kids to develop that habit of procrastination, because we know that people who procrastinate a lot of times have difficulty in life with other people and even in their jobs.
Wow. Well, that is the topic of today's show, procrastination. And a lot of us struggle with this. And here's another one that will sound familiar to our listeners, Dr. Linda. I have this really big assignment due. It's going to take me lots of concentration and tedious work to get done. And I know I have to complete that project by the end of the week, but nothing in me wants to do it.
When I hear a story like that, then I'm thinking, and so you might go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And the thinking is, oh, exercise will relax me. It'll help me concentrate better, right? So then after the gym, you think, let me play that new video game that everyone is talking about. And, oh, your colleague wanted you to work on that fun advertising campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, after days of not working on the project, you begin. However, by that time, there's no time to complete it.
Right.
So hopefully your boss will give you a pass for a few more days because you know you can get it done.
I can totally relate, especially when it comes to exercise. Like you mentioned, usually I'm too busy snacking. After this snack, I'll go for a run.
So you're even procrastinating the run.
Definitely,
yeah.
Right. And we can find lots of distractions that are way more interesting than doing the thing at hand. But in the back of your mind, you know that that assignment or whatever it is that you need to do is lurking, and it does raise some anxiety.
Yeah, I think it does. I think that's true. You don't hear many people complain about not devoting enough time to TV or to video games or even naps or even eating junk food, like
right.
you just mentioned. But when it comes to math homework, household chores, updating your resume, that's more difficult to get started
that's
on.
That's right. I can think of so many times that I don't want to do something and put it off for later. It's just so easy to do.
It is. But here's the thing we need to think about. How is that received, Chris, by the people around you when we succumb to this and we go, I'll do it later?
Right, yeah.
How does that affect the people around you?
Not very well. As a matter of fact, being a procrastinator can cause relationship problems, and it can be irritating to the person who wants to get things done. But even though we know the results of procrastination are usually negative, I mean, we end up having to do the thing that we put off eventually. So why do we do this?
I know. So one reason can be that maybe we want to do that thing perfectly.
Mm.
I don't know if this is one of your issues or not, but I don't really struggle with this as much. I struggle with a lot of other things, but this I don't seem to have much of an issue with. But a lot of people feel like, you know what, I just won't even start it because if I can't do it perfectly, then I'm just going to put it off. So it's almost like it's psychologically more acceptable to never tackle a task than face the possibility that you might fall short on the performance of that task.
I've always heard that it's type A people who actually have problems cleaning their house.
Yeah, that perfectionism.
They know they may not get it clean, so that they don't even do it. Is it because they are afraid to fail?
Well, I think there can be fear of failure. There can also be fear of success. Sometimes people don't start something because they're afraid they might be successful. Maybe you have a fear of looking bad, so you don't want to try it. Or you have a fear of other people making fun of you. You hear kids talk about that a lot, where kids will say, I didn't want to do it. I put it off because I was afraid somebody might laugh at me.
Right.
Have you ever had your kids? I had my kids say that a few times.
Right.
So only you can identify the particular fear that's feeding into your procrastination. And you have to sort of think about that so you can get a basis for understanding, why do I do it? Sometimes those fears are really easy to identify, and other times it just takes a little bit more time to figure out what's blocking you, what's stopping you from doing it.
And procrastinators may say they perform better under pressure, which I have said that before.
You said that?
Yes. Sometimes with this show, you've heard me say
I
that.
I have heard you say this.
Hey, Dr. Linda, I didn't go through the notes, but it'll be a great show. But that's just a way of putting things off.
you know, here's the thing. A little bit of pressure is good. So when you have to perform or do something, mm-hmm. if you have a little bit of stress, that's good because it gets you going. It gets you moving on the task at hand. But if the pressure is delaying you, which is what we're talking about, procrastination, then it's probably an excuse. So the bright side of this is it is possible to overcome this with some effort. And that's the good news we're going to talk about on the show, how to overcome this problem.
You do what feels good at the moment. Like right now, watching TV might be more fun than mowing the grass. And wow, that's our culture. That happens a lot.
Yeah, that is really a part of our culture. The short-term pleasure of feeling good at the moment is just enough for all of us, I think, to avoid the long-term pleasure of getting something done. I just had this drilled into me so much as a kid, Chris. My dad is German. He's very into the work and getting the work done. And he just pushed and pushed this notion of do it now, get it done. If you tackle it now, you're going to feel better about this. But I just think it's part of us that we want to go, maybe in a little bit I'll do that. But here's the thing. If you've learned to put things off, and this is really resonating with you as you're listening to us, the good news is you can unlearn this habit. So we can change our brains and push forward to doing what we don't want to do.
I want to ask you if these two things are related, procrastination and being impulsive. It seems like the more someone is impulsive, the more they might avoid doing things that require a lot of sustained concentration.
I think that makes sense because I think they are a little bit related because when people are stressed and they're impulsive people, that's when someone usually avoids doing what they need to do because of the stress, the anxiety that they're feeling. So the person may do something else other than the task at hand. But again, if you think about it, you're doing it because you're anxious, but then as you delay, you get more and more distressed. And when we look at procrastination, we see higher rates of depression in people. We see higher rates of anxiety, and we see a lower sense of well-being among people. So this can become a real problem if we don't decide to tackle it and really work on it.
Does it have anything to do with a problem with time management?
Time management is involved, but so is the regulation of emotion. So we're just talking about that in stress and anxiety. When you have something to do you don't want to do, here's the thing. You need to allow yourself to feel anxious about that task, but then you need to work through that anxiety so you're not avoiding the task and being impulsive by doing something else that you enjoy. So what I'm saying is expose yourself to that anxiety time. If you do it over and over again, you're going to get more comfortable with sticking to the task because you're exposing yourself to that anxiety. Does that make sense? In terms
definitely.
Of you're kind of practicing it, you're saying, okay, I'm feeling anxious. Rather than run away from it and do something else, I'm going to stay in it and force myself to do the task.
You know, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, you don't have to see the whole staircase, just take the first step.
That's good advice for procrastinators. If you set a small goal to complete along the way, and then you focus on the steps to that end, you have some kind of vision of where you're going, and you see yourself getting it done. It's like in sports, people focus on the task and getting it done and crossing the finish line, and they see themselves doing it. You can learn to do that with your own self when it comes to getting a task done. Imagine yourself getting it done.
Does it help to pay attention to the actual amount of time it takes to complete the task as a way of helping prepare? And the reason I ask is this example. If you see that it takes an approximately, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours to study to get an A or a B on a history exam, you can use that information for helping to better schedule your study time for future exams.
So I think that's good. I think if you pay attention to the time, like you said, then you're going to have to say, okay, next time I do that, it's going to take me 4 hours. Mm-hmm. But maybe I can break it down into small steps. But then you have a realistic idea of what it's going to do.
We need to address the I don't feel like it approach that seems to get in the way. This, to me, is the biggest obstacle, and it's easy to give into that feeling.
Yeah, I agree. So here's the thing. Getting things done can't be mood regulated. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. If you wait for your mood to get caught up to how you're going to do something, a lot of us would probably never do anything. So we can't wait for the right mood or you're going to have problems. So you have to be disciplined in this. You have to do things you don't enjoy. You have to do things you don't want to, maybe just because, and I hate saying this, but maybe you do it just because you're a grown up.
Oh, man.
I know.
Well, let's not procrastinate anymore. Let's go to a break. More to come on the Dr. Linda Mental Show on the topic of procrastination. Stay with us as we discuss 7 strategies to get you to stop procrastinating.
Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental, and I wrote the book, We Need to Talk, in order to help all of us deal better with conflict. We Need to Talk, available at bookstores and online where books are sold.
Did you know you have a conflict style? Everybody does. Are you a conflict avoider? Maybe you don't avoid, but instead react intensely. Or perhaps you are a great negotiator. Dr. Linda Mental offers a free conflict quiz when you visit her website, www.drlindahelps.com. Click on the picture of her latest book, We Need to Talk. Then have a friend or your partner take the quiz too, and see if you can navigate conflict successfully.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Just a reminder that Dr. Linda has written a number of blogs on the topic of our shows, and you can read them by going to her website, drlindamental.com, and you can follow her on social media as well. She regularly tweets and puts interesting articles on Facebook and adds a few fun things on Instagram as well, at my expense.
You've been such a good sport on Instagram, and I do tend to use you to make it kind of interesting. My apologies.
So embarrassing.
You're actually really good at that, though. that brings people to our attention.
That's right. They know we're real people.
We're real people, right. Yeah.
Well, today we're talking about procrastinating, and let me ask you this. What about expectations? Someone who procrastinates has developed a habit.
Yeah, so it took you a lifetime to get where you are today in terms of procrastination. So it's not something you're going to fix overnight. So in terms of your expectations, you have to think, okay, this is something I can fix. It is a habit that I've learned. And so I have to put some dedication into this. I have to be willing to try a different pattern. But if you do that, you're going to be okay.
Okay, so where do we begin?
So I think a good place is to just get organized, since disorganization is a component that a lot of people who procrastinate talk about. Mm-hmm. If you get more organized and you learn how to think about, okay, I have to do this task, this task, this task, and how am I going to kind of order these, that's a really good idea. One person told me that one of the things that was really helpful working on this was to get an appointment book. Mm. Do you use one?
I do. It's actually a book. You know, so many people want to sync up their phone with their email and their schedules and their Google and their Outlook. I just keep it right there.
Written down. So I'm like that, too. I'm very old school. And I people mm-hmm. make fun at me at work all the time and go, why don't you just look at your phone? Or why don't you, like you're talking about, just. But I like it. I use one of those day planners.
Yeah.
And I have it by the hour where I'm supposed to be. And I use that and look at that as a prompt because that helps me organize my time so that I'm not getting behind on things.
Well, once we're organized, you found 7 strategies from an article in Real Simple that you liked. Let's talk about those.
Yeah, so I thought this was a great little article. I like a lot of articles in Real mm-hmm. Simple. I think it's real everyday kind of stuff. And so the first one was to do the worst thing first.
Yeah.
What do you think of that? Do you do that?
If it's the worst thing, get it out of the way.
Mm-hmm. I told my kids this over and over when they were growing up because it actually was a strategy that worked for me. Mm-hmm. So here's why. And this is what I said to the kids. Look, we have a limited supply of willpower and resources and energy. So if you attack the hardest task when your energy is kind of fresh, you know, you're kind of at a point where you're really feeling stronger, you're going to have a better chance of success. So putting off that dreaded item on your list is really something that takes the energy out of people. Mm. Because if you're thinking about it, you're like, oh, I still got to do that. I still haven't finished that. So this is strategy number one. Check off the hardest thing that you have to do. If you do that, you're going to feel super productive. You're going to give yourself sort of a aha, yes, good job, pat, and keep going.
Right. Well, the second strategy is to start your day over at 2 p.m. Explain that.
Well, honestly, this is something, Chris, I never thought of, but this is what the experts say about that. They'll say, you know, what's more irritating than going through your entire morning without having done really anything on your to-do list? Mm. So you've already wasted your morning, and you're watching your afternoon just sort of roll right along the same way.
Yep.
So what they're saying is basically do a reboot. Hmm. So at 2 o'clock every day, sort of assess your plan. What can you do? Is there something important you can get done? They're saying it's like have a second morning in the middle of the day.
Well, that means we can eat breakfast again.
Yeah.
Great
you
idea.
You can have your caffeinated beverage.
That's right.
At that point. And, you know, if there's a new project that has been given to you or something that you have to do during that time, go ahead and put some energy into that. But begin to try to think it over like, okay, fresh start, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm going to get going and I'm going to do it. I think this is kind of interesting to maybe think about and try.
Well, it means you have to get out of bed before noon,
yeah.
For sure.
That's true.
Well, strategy number three is make the job smaller.
Again, I think it's really natural for us when we have something big looming, maybe something we don't want to do, to get really overwhelmed by the size and the scope of something that could be a task that we're like, oh, I don't want to do this. So if you can sort of, you know, look at it and say, okay, I just have to do this. And what this one expert says is if you can see the forest is made of a lot of trees, now stay with me, painting a picture here, then cut down one tree at a time. And if you can't cut down the whole tree, he's saying cut down a few branches. In other words, don't look at this huge forest in front of you. Mm-hmm. Try to pick one or two things that you think you can do and then try that.
And get permission from the landowner first.
For the trees. It's a metaphor, Chris. All right. So let's say you have 12 boxes of clutter to sort out. And what you would do is maybe just do one. I've worked on this with my son. He's like this all or nothing with cleaning.
Right.
He's like, he wants to do the whole garage. And then he spends this whole day rather than doing a little bit at a time. Now, when he does it, it's awesome. But it, a lot of times takes him a long time to find that whole day to do it. So if you just take one or two of those boxes, you know, one task in this and then shrink it down, I think it works better for most people.
Well, strategy number four is to create an audience to help you to not just blow things off. If you can make yourself accountable to a friend, you're motivated so that you don't, well, embarrass yourself.
It's the same principle that a lot of people use for exercise, right?
Mm-hmm.
Get an accountability person. If you do it with someone else, you're more likely to do it. So there's this whole notion in us about we don't want to let someone else down. So that's a great motivator for a procrastinator. So call a friend, call a sibling, call a parent, somebody. Tell them what your plan is to get it done. And then ask that person to check in with you and sort of crack the whip.
Well, strategy number five is to play race the clock.
Yeah, so the idea here is to try setting a timer maybe for 10 minutes and then you work in that really, you know, focused time. And a lot of people can go, I can do that. I can do that for 10 minutes. And a lot of times what happens when people play this sort of race the clock idea is they end up working even longer because they've got this mental thing of, oh, I only have to do it for 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. I actually have to do this for exercise.
Wow.
So I'll go down there and I'll go, well, I can do 10-minute increments are good.
Mm-hmm.
And then I find myself going, okay, I can go 20.
Right.
Well, I'm at 20. I know fat doesn't start burning until 20. So I can make it to 20. Because I just hate exercise, I'm going to be honest. But I know it's so good for us. So I use this little strategy with exercise.
Now, here's one that I struggle with because I feel like I get distracted easily. Strategy number six is to not interrupt yourself. And this includes not allowing technology to interrupt you, of course, unless you're listening to the Dr. Linda show on the radio.
Put your podcast on.
Just turn it off or put it out of sight.
I think it's hard for people to get off their technology and not to multitask, but we know that isn't a good thing. So here's the last one, and I really like this one. It sounds like a fun thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's to plan an unprocrastination day. You like that? So gather your most neglected tasks and vow not to stop until you get it all done.
Wow. Okay, well, that's seven strategies to start breaking down the procrastination habit. And after the break, let's talk about how to think of procrastination from a spiritual perspective. When we get around to it, we'll be back on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Mother and daughter relationships are powerful, and they impact all our other relationships. Think about it. The way you react with your mom typically is the way you might react with other people. Yet this important bond can be filled with tension when both women try to find their own voice and develop a sense of self. So working through the mother-daughter relationship can be a challenge, but it is so worth the effort. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and I would love to help you navigate this important relationship and strengthen it to the best it can be. That's why I wrote, I Love My Mother, But, a book to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. We all love our mothers. But sometimes we need a little help working through our differences. I Love My Mother, But, available on my website, drlindamental.com, or online where books are sold. Threats of war, racial tension, divorce, natural disasters. If you are like me, sometimes I just have to turn off the news and remind myself that there is actually good in our world. It's so easy to listen to all the bad news and become worried. Worried about the future, about the Middle East, crime, finances, health, family problems, and, you know, so it goes. But Scripture tells us to take those worried thoughts captive, to be anxious about nothing. That is one of the reasons I wrote Letting Go of Worry. I didn't want worry to grip so many of us and cause us to lose our peace. So the next time you hear bad news, remind yourself to take those anxious thoughts captive. If you need help doing so, Letting Go of Worry is a good resource and will walk you through the steps to living in peace and contentment.
Letting Go of Worry by Dr. Linda Mental, available on her website, drlindamental.com, and online.
This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and don't forget you can listen to this show anytime on the My Faith Radio Show podcast and even send it to a friend. And Dr. Linda, recently a listener told you that he put the link to our Hope for Impossible Marriage show on his Facebook page for his entire church leadership to share with their congregations. And another listener told you she sent the show link to friends on Facebook as well. That's a good idea.
It's a really good idea, and it's so great with podcasting because once the shows air live, then you can go back and you can look at the topics and you can say, hey, I know somebody who's really struggling with this.
Right.
Or I know somebody who just wants to be uplifted. Or I know someone who wants to be charming. I'm going to listen to that charming show.
Right.
I actually had some people from California I met on a trip and they said, we listened to that charming show and we really liked that. We're putting that stuff into practice.
Wow.
And we watched Chris on Instagram tilt his head. What was it, Chris? Tilt your head, yeah, lift your eyebrows and smile.
I'm surprised they didn't think that I'm one of the most creepy people around.
Well, I did say it looked a little weird the way you were doing it, but it is part of what happens to people who are charming.
That's true. Well, the topic for today's program is procrastination. And Dr. Linda, let's talk about the spiritual implications.
So have you ever said any of the following? And I'm going to do this because this is stuff that we say in the church, right? Or the church body.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll say, oh, I'll share my faith with my friend tomorrow.
Tomorrow, right.
Or I'll start praying more regularly tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Have you got a few that you can think of?
Oh, I'll read the Bible tomorrow. And I know God wants me to talk to my neighbor about him, so I will tomorrow.
Yeah, or I'll start treating my wife with respect tomorrow. That's
tomorrow.
What I've heard in therapy a few times. Or I'll become a better parent, you know, starting tomorrow. So these are ways that we sort of procrastinate. We can even take one, Chris, and say, I'll serve in the church maybe tomorrow,
right,
or I'll take charge of my spiritual growth later.
Right.
So it's easy even with spiritual things to procrastinate and say, I'm going to do that, but then we never start.
I think the message here is to stop saying tomorrow. Instead, today is the day, right?
Yeah. So listen to this verse from James 4, 13 and 14. Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow, we are going to a certain town and will stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, and then it's gone. So the Bible is telling us to stop putting off tomorrow. It wasn't just the Annie song that reminded us of that. The Bible is saying, do what you need to do today. Tomorrow isn't really a given for any of us, and we don't know what tomorrow may bring.
Well, if we want to stop procrastinating, what changes in our thinking do we need to make?
So I really think it helps to take your negative thoughts captive, and because a lot of times it's our negative thoughts that lead us to delay. So, for instance, if you say something like, it's not hopeless, I can do it. So a lot of times people are going, oh, it's hopeless. Why would I start? Why do I want to do this? I'm not going to get it done. If you take that thought captive and you say, it's not hopeless, or maybe you say, it's not too late because there's always time to start something now, or maybe even sometimes you're saying to yourself, I'm not smart enough. But really, a lot of times when people do well at something, it's not because they're so smart. It's because they practice. Or a lot of times just this whole, I can do it later, as we just said. You're not going to perform better under pressure either. That's another negative thought that people say that we've already talked about.
Right. It seems that self-control is a part of procrastination and that it requires discipline to do things that you don't want to do.
Yeah, procrastination could reflect a constant struggle with self-control for some people. You know, that whole I don't feel like it that we talked about, sometimes that takes precedent over doing what we need to do. So we know that self-control is one of the fruit of the Spirit. So Galatians 5, 22, 23, probably a familiar verse to a lot of people, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and here it is, self-control. Against such things, there is no law.
And the book of Proverbs always offers up daily living help, especially if we are simply being lazy and doing things. Proverbs 13:4 says, "The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied."
You know, here's one thing I've been procrastinating on. I have been saying to myself for months, I want to read through Proverbs. Right. Every day, just pick a proverb and start reading through it, because it is such a good book on daily living. And so I'm going to make that my goal, not to procrastinate tomorrow. Oh, tomorrow I'm going to do it.
Right.
But I will start tomorrow.
Well, you've done the right thing. You've told me.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, check me next week. So overall, really what we've got here is that the Bible is saying, let's not delay things. That's kind of an overarching principle. You know, we don't know when Christ is going to return, so we shouldn't delay doing things that will impact his kingdom. We want to take advantage of every single opportunity that leads people to Christ that should come our way. And we don't want to procrastinate when it comes to dealing with things like anger and forgiveness and reconciliation with people. A procrastination can be a really bad habit, sometimes with eternal effects.
Procrastination can lead to an unhealthy lifestyle in which we become poor stewards of our time.
Yes, and then a window of time may close, and you might not have the opportunity again. So whatever it is you're putting off, determine this day to tackle that thing and make a change. The Bible instructs us to be diligent in all that we do. We mentioned the scripture on self-control, disciplined and managing our time well, not missing moments of opportunity. Proverbs 12:24 says, and it reminds us, work hard and you will be a leader. Be lazy and you will end up a slave. So basically the message is, and I hate to quote a very famous shoe company, but really the Bible is saying, just do it. So take action and keep in mind that no one procrastinates their way to success. Whatever it is you're procrastinating on, just do it. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer, Norm Mintel, our engineer, and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. You and I can make everything a little better doing life together. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.